Hello and welcome back once again to A Place to Grow. Every weekday, Pastor Stephen R. Hill of Spirit Life Church in Hurst, Texas has a life-changing message that will help you to determine God's destiny for your life. This program will help you to identify and use the gifts that God has given you. God has a wonderful plan for your life. Now here's Pastor Steve.
I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit once again today. The Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity, was sent by Jesus and the Father to equip us and to empower us to fulfill our prophetic destiny in life. The Holy Spirit came to empower every Christian with the ability to obey God and to share with others the message of salvation through Jesus Christ. You remember this verse in Acts chapter 1 and 8. It says, "You will receive power, dunamis, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere." Now, when we talk about Jesus, we must remember his prophetic mission was to save humanity from the influence, the penalty, and yes, even the punishment of sin. And I need to say this because a lot of people say they believe in Jesus, but my friends, he's not your Savior unless you accept him as your Savior and Lord. You know, there's a verse in the book of Joel 3 and 14. It says, "Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." There are more than 7.7 billion people in our world today. And very soon, Jesus Christ will return to this earth to judge every person's decision of whether or not they've accepted him as personal Savior and Lord. In John 3 and 16, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever who will believe in him will not perish, but shall have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him." And there is a day when the Lord will return and he will ask, "Did you receive me as personal Savior and Lord?" And every person on the face of the earth will be judged by that. In Romans chapter 14 and 10, it says, "We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Each of us shall give an account of himself to God for what he has done. He who believes in the Son has everlasting life. And he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the judgment of God shall rest upon him." It's important for you to realize that sin leads to physical, spiritual, and eternal death. The Bible says, "Well, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ." Now, God wants us all to know his Son. And God wants us as his children to warn others of that day that I'm talking about right now. Because God wants every person saved from the awful consequences of rejecting Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. In Mark chapter 16 and 15, the Bible says that Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned or condemned." Now, folks, we don't talk about this enough, but avoiding talking about it will not make it go away. I'm talking about heaven and hell, because hell awaits every person who rejects Jesus Christ. Right now, you know some people who have never accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior. They are on their way to hell unless there's a change. Because Jesus Christ is the only way to God and to heaven. There are many religions in our world, but there is only one Savior. His name is Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 4 and 12, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, there are many well-meaning people sharing the gospel, just focusing on the love of God. We give them the choice to love or to reject God and to reject his son, Jesus Christ, without telling them about the consequences. What I found interesting in the Word of God was that God said to warn people of the judgment of God. In Ezekiel chapter 33 and verse 8, it says, "When I say to the wicked, O wicked man, you will surely die, and you do not speak to dissuade them from their ways, that wicked person will die in their sin, and I will hold you accountable for his blood." So there's an accountability factor with each Christian in warning people that without Jesus Christ, they are going to hell. Eternal death and eternal suffering. God is saying in his word that it's our responsibility to tell them. In Jude chapter 21, it says, "Wait patiently for the eternal life that Jesus Christ is giving to you, however, save some by snatching them as from the very flames of hell itself." Sometimes to get people's attention, you need to snatch them. You need to let them know, hey, you know what? Serving God is a decision, but the consequences are eternal death and hell. And let me just tell you something, folks. Hell is a real place. In Luke chapter 16 and 22, Jesus described hell by talking about a story about a rich man and a poor man. And it wasn't just a story. It was actually an incident that took place. And so Jesus talked about the poor man and how he would sit outside on the curb of the property of the rich man. And he had sores, and he was poor, and he was just in a terrible state. And he would eat from the scraps that came from the rich man's table. That's why he was there, pretty much. Well, the Bible says he died. And when he died, he went to heaven. But the rich man, who had everything that he wanted in life, he had no time for God. And the Bible says when he died, he opened his eyes in hell. It says the rich man died and was buried. His body was buried, but he was still very much alive. Please understand, folks, nobody really dies. Our body dies, but our spirit lives on throughout eternity. So here the Bible says a rich man's body died and he was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. Now I want you to listen about some of the things that the Bible says about hell. Number one, hell is a place created for the devil and for his angels. See, God never created hell for human beings and human spirits. No, it was created for the rebellion of Satan and wicked spirits against him. But people who reject Jesus Christ, you've rejected heaven. That's the only other place there is in eternity. That's where you're going. Number two, hell is a place of unquenchable fire. In Mark chapter 9 and 43, it says, "If your hand or your foot gets in God's way, cut it off and throw it away. You're better off maimed or lame and alive than the proud owner of two hands and two feet, godless in a furnace of eternal fire." The Bible tells us that hell is a place of unspeakable pain and suffering. The Bible talks about people gnawing on their tongue because of the pain, suffering that they will have in hell. Number four, a place of complete darkness. The Bible says that hell is a place of outer darkness, no lights. Number five, a place of unsatisfied thirst. This rich man was in hell and he was crying out and saying, "Well, somebody let me get some water to cool my tongue. I'm burning in this fire." It will be a place of unquenchable thirst. Now think of this. In hell, even though your body will be dead, your spirit will still have desires. Desire for water. And there will be none for all eternity to quench your thirst. The Bible says that hell is a place of memory and regret. It also says that hell is a place where people will spend eternity with no way of escape. How many of you want to go to hell? Let me see your hands. Nobody's hand went up. Good. But let's be transparent. How many of you know people who have never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord? Let me see your hands. All right. What are you going to do about it? What are you doing about it? See, God is calling the inhabitants of planet Earth to Himself through you, through me, through every Christian. In Isaiah 45 and 22, the Lord says, "Look to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth. I am God. There is no other way." See, God wants everyone saved, everyone to accept His Son, Jesus Christ, as personal Savior and Lord. This is the only way your sins can be forgiven. It's the only way that you can be free from eternal punishment.
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. Here's Pastor Steve with a special invitation for you.
Hi, this is Pastor Steve, and each of us have a prophetic destiny. Every person born is simply searching for the why and the how of their existence. Everyone wants to know, why am I here? And how do I accomplish my true purpose? Well, the why and the how of our existence can only be found in God, our Creator. The Bible says, "Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves." Your purpose is discovered by receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And you will never gain greater satisfaction in life than to serve your true purpose. I want to personally invite you to our worship service this Sunday at 10 a.m. It's one of the ways that I know that you're listening. I would love to shake your hand and pray for you. I am certain that the service will encourage you and prepare you for the coming week. A church that's alive is worth the drive.
Spirit Life Church is located in the middle of the Mid-Cities at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hearst. We offer a safe environment. Get more information at our website, aplacetogrow.org. Now let's get back into today's message.
The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to Him through repentance. God wants to bring revival to our communities, to our country, and to our world. Why? Because Jesus died for the world. God wants us all to share the gospel with people so that they understand that your best life is accepting Jesus Christ as personal Savior and Lord. They have a prophetic purpose and destiny, and that God desires for them to go to heaven and not to hell. Now, when we begin to talk about revival, perhaps it's a word that you've heard or a term that you've heard and you're not quite sure what that means. Well, revival is a move of evangelism where unbelievers are stirred to repent and to seek for salvation. Revival moves complacent Christians to pray, to begin to fast, and to begin to witness for Jesus Christ. Revival is a time of spiritual refreshing in the presence of the Lord. It's a time of joy in the Holy Spirit. It's a time of experiencing breakthroughs, both natural and spiritual. And so when we talk about revival, we're talking about the move of the Holy Spirit among us to bring people to know Jesus Christ as personal Savior, to help us as believers to know God better, to experience His presence, and to live out God's dynamic purpose for our lives. It's a time where chains are broken off of our lives. Situations are changed for us supernaturally by the power of God. How can we initiate a revival? Now, it's something that God wants. You know, everything that God is involved with really is coming from the supernatural realm. So when we begin to talk about revival, we need to understand revival is something supernatural. It's something that God gives us as we initiate it into the realm of the Spirit. And revival is birthed in the chambers of prayer and fasting. Now, I want you to consider this, because your decision to pray or to skip prayer every day will affect your family, your neighbors, your coworkers, and even your destiny. As incredible as it may seem to you, God has chosen to limit his involvement in the affairs of this world based upon people's prayers. Who is praying? Who is asking for something? The Bible says that after the disciples were threatened by the Jewish leaders, that Peter began to pray. And I want you to listen to his prayer. In Acts chapter 4 and 29, he says, "Now, Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness we may be able to speak your word by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." And the Bible says, "And when they prayed, the place where they were in was shaken, and they were all filled again with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness." Prayer initiates revival. Passionate prayer is what we need. Consistent prayer, seeking God specifically for a supernatural move of God, is revival. That's what we're talking about today. You know, God told us that a revival is initiated this way. He said in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from my wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. My eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers that they are making." I don't know how much time you take to pray, but prayer is one of the most important things you can possibly do. And God uses prayer to initiate supernatural revival within our hearts and our lives. I heard one person say that prayer was the window to the supernatural, because prayer is the vehicle used for us to enter into the supernatural. We're talking to God. We breach this natural realm every time we pray and we begin to talk to our Father in heaven. The founder of the Methodist Church, John Wesley, felt so strongly about prayer that he said, "God does nothing on earth except in response to a believer's prayer." You know, Jesus himself said that we were to pray daily for God's release of his will on planet earth. Listen to what he said in Matthew chapter 6 and 9. "In this manner, therefore, pray: Our Father in heaven, we reverence and honor your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Folks, God not only desires us to pray, he expects us to pray for ourselves and for others. And if we do not pray, we should not expect God to move on our behalf. You know what the Bible says? It says, "You do not have because you do not ask." In other words, you don't have what you need because you're not praying. Jesus said that we have to ask, that we have to pray to receive our answers to the things that we need. In Matthew 7 and 7, he says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened." See, God responds to our prayers. And our prayer and fasting provides spiritual power to fill heaven and to empty hell of its anticipated occupants. we're going to really be surprised when we get to heaven, because some of the people that we thought were going to be there are not going to be there. And some of the people that we said, hey, no way, they're making to heaven, they're going to be walking right in front of us because of someone's prayers, because someone prevailed in prayer for their salvation. Now, folks, you need to understand something. We are in a spiritual war. The Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits. You need to understand every day of your life is a spiritual battle, where the devil is fighting against you for your salvation, for your health, for your blessing, your prosperity, for your children, for your marriage. He's fighting. He's always fighting. He's always fighting. And that's the reason why God says you have to pray. You've got to pray every day. You've got to come against his attacks through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. That's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And through prayer, and tell the devil, no, you can't touch my family. I cover my family. I cover myself. I cover my possessions. I cover my finances with the blood of Jesus. Devil, you cannot touch us in Jesus' name. You see, we are in a battle. It's an eternal battle for good and evil. You were placed here as a Christian to be a soldier. God calls us soldiers. And as soldiers, we've been placed here to defend God's right to the lives of these people here on planet Earth. God is the creator. God is the one who's given us all life. And when you became born again, he made you a soldier to defend his word and to defend the souls of those people who still need to know him and accept him as personal savior and Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 11 and 12, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcibly advancing, and the forceful men lay hold on it. In other words, God's power in our community, in our nation, and in our world flows through the soldiers of God. It flows through you and me as we move forcibly through prayer, through fasting, through speaking God's word, by tearing down strongholds and speaking the word of God and inviting people to know Jesus as personal Savior and Lord. Through our prayers, through our fasting, through our seeking God, God releases angels, and those angels go to war. Now, throughout history, when sin was at its highest point, God sent revival as a result of fasting and prayer to change the circumstances. How many of you know, by the condition our world is in today, it's time for a revival? Let me see your hand. Look at the person next to you and say, just looking at it, the times in which we live, it's time for a great revival. If you really believe that, give God a hand of praise. It's time for a great revival. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for how to do it. How we initiate it. This is the message from the Holy Spirit. You initiate it through prayer and fasting. You initiate it by understanding this is your responsibility on planet Earth. Jesus Christ is coming soon. And individuals without Christ are going to be eternally lost. What are we doing about it?
Thank you for joining us today for A Place to Grow. We're so grateful for your continued support and listenership. If you've been blessed by our ministry, we humbly ask that you consider helping us keep this daily broadcast on the air by making a donation. Your contribution will make all the difference. To give, simply visit our website at aplacetogrow.org. Every gift helps us continue spreading the message of hope and encouragement. May God richly bless you, and we look forward to being with you again tomorrow. The title of today's program is Holy Spirit Revival. Are you all in? This is part one. Now, Pastor Steve would like to pray with you.
Thank you for listening to A Place to Grow. I'm so glad for this opportunity to be able to pray with you. I don't know your needs, but God certainly knows them. So let's pray together. Father, we ask that you would bless every individual in the name of Jesus, your Holy Son. Father, you are a God of blessing. You know the needs of the people today.
We believe you today in the name of your precious son, Jesus, to meet every need. And we thank you for it in his name. Let's say amen. Thank you for listening to A Place to Grow. God bless you and keep listening.
Thank you for being with us today for A Place to Grow. We're honored to have you with us and look forward to seeing you at our Spirit-filled worship service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. At Spirit Life Church, we strive to create a welcoming and safe space for everyone to experience God's presence. Stay connected with us throughout the week by visiting our Spirit Life Church International YouTube channel and Facebook page, where you'll find uplifting messages and lots more. Spirit Life Church is located at 1860 Precinct Line Road in Hurst, Texas. For more details, head to our website at aplacetogrow.org. And don't forget to join us every weekday at 4 p.m. and on Sunday afternoons at 2:30 right here on Bible School Radio, 91.3 KDKR. Radio. 91.3 KDKR.